Hello. Nice to see you, Les. And let's see. Good, that's open. Oh, well, that was that. Well, we'll see. There we go. All right. Hello.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I have a question. Are we going to get the forward? The
forward in Christ?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure how that'll work. I guess it'll come in the mail. And then normally we just put it in your mailbox. Church, but of course I see the problem here. So I'm not sure what's the best way to handle that.
I wonder if one of the what would it be, the April or May issue? I wonder if it's come.
Possibly. Yeah, I didn't check real recently. Sorry, I'm trying to live stream our Bible study here on Facebook, and I'm not really sure how to do that. Use stream key. Okay. Stream preview. Kind of a mystery here. All right, I'll just try this one more time. Yeah, so I guess, are you saying you'd like us to mail it to you?
No. Dale and I are going to probably either tomorrow or Friday, we're going to be in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some quilts that I've just finished, and I'm going to drop those off at the church. And I thought if those came, we'd just pick them up.
Okay. All right. Well, let me double check and see if they're there tomorrow. I didn't see them. I wasn't in today. I didn't see them this weekend. But maybe they're somewhere and I don't realize it. I know they're making all of the issues available for free on the internet. I wonder if perhaps that affects their other plans, their normal publishing. Yeah, I'm really not sure. I guess I can look up the question here, Forward in Christ. And let's see if it says anything.
You're not sending them out.
Huh. That's not clear. Oh, okay. Let's see. You can access the April or May issue free digitally. So I can give you that link right now. Oh, but you have to sign up for it. So I wonder if that means they haven't sent the paper copies, because the assumption is that churches can't distribute them. You know, probably what they did is they didn't send them to churches, but they did send them to individuals. But we have kind of a weird setup where we have a church subscription to get lower rates, but then we only give them to individuals who pay for it.
I don't like going online and reading magazines.
Sure, yeah, understandable. Well, I just don't know if they're going to send a paper copy or not.
Now, that comes from Northwest Publishing House?
Yes.
Maybe I'll give them a call tomorrow.
Sure, yeah.
But use the phone and find out.
Yeah. Feel free.
Okay.
Let's see who else is here. So iPad 7, Carolyn, Anna, and I assume Lance there, Dale and Lovis. Yeah, I am trying to get us to live stream on Facebook, but I'm clicking the right buttons, but it doesn't seem to be working. Let me try this. I could try, default program.
No pressure, we're all just watching you.
Sure. Well, we got a few
Tessie's
minutes.
Here with us.
Yeah, oh, Tessie's here with us. But Simon's working for another half hour or so.
Okay. How are you, Tessie?
Good. I still didn't get anything in the mail.
Okay. Well, Cheryl got hers. And I sent them at the same time.
Well, I had to go to the post office today and getting somebody else's mail. So getting that straightened out, hopefully.
Okay. Well. Well, good. Anybody got anything fun to share? Something fun you did? Some work you did around the house, perhaps?
Cleaning the yard, cutting brush, mowing the yard, grinding stumps.
Oh, you do that. Do you have a special stump grinding?
Home Depot does.
Home Depot has one that you can rent.
Oh, okay.
How much are they to rent?
I read that for 24 hours, it was about 300, I think, for 24 hours. I had to take out five stumps, six stumps. One of, a bunch of them were pretty hard wood, and it did pretty good.
Yeah, our hardest wood was the Black Locust. Yeah,
Black Locust.
Mr. Beats and axe.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, wow. How long did it take?
About 5 hours.
Yeah, about 5 hours to do.
Including a 1 hour nap in the middle.
So oh, four, okay.
Really? If there was stamina. Hey, Ron.
Did you have to?
Miss Donna?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, somebody is. Let me make you guys co-hosts here. I could maybe randomly make someone else a co-host. Here, Donna, you're a co-host.
Thank you.
Yeah, great honor.
Don't be like our governor. Let that power go to your head now.
We just want tiaras, don't we, Donna?
Well,
just tiaras. That's all we ever want.
You got it.
Yes, you can't. You can't mute people just because they say something you don't like. It has to be.
All right, deal. It's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm attempting to go live here on Facebook, and I'm going to try it one more time. Let's see. I'm going to write the words Bible study. That should attract droves of people.
Yeah.
And studying prayer. So there we go. Getting out of the circles, saying it's starting. And I have no idea. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think now, just so everybody knows, people can log, they can log in on Zoom, but they could also be watching on Facebook. I wouldn't assume there's a whole lot of people doing that. There's probably zero right now, and there might be one or zero by the time we're done. But there you go. We're live. So we'll see if this goes well. If we do happen to pick up anybody, you know, we'll keep doing it. Apparently, some people like Facebook and use it frequently and will often then be influenced to do, you know, whatever pops up at the top of their screen, you know, the latest thing. So maybe they will see that we're live and think, oh, wow, they're live. Well, I want to see what's going on live and be with us. So I don't know if that'll happen or not. So we'll start our Bible study here on prayer, but I just thought I'd ask first, now that there's more people, any updates or questions or topics to raise, just because you're curious or interested or whatever? I know everybody, a lot of people are bashful and you don't want to turn your cameras on, by the way, but if you did, I'm sure everyone else would enjoy seeing your face as we're in these times of you know, isolation and loneliness and missing the church fellowship. I think more and more people are starting to miss that as it's getting longer since we've been together. So keep that in mind. In fact, I may change it next time you log in to where your camera is automatically on. So I'm giving you some preparation for that. Be looking for it.
We still have our shutter. We still have our shutter.
Oh, okay. Ah, you flipped it up. Okay, good. Yeah. They have a camera in their house, and it wasn't working for the longest time, and it turns out the shutter was down.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Jake.
Ron, how are you doing?
Good.
All I see at Dale and Levis's is a coffee table.
Is that what that is? I thought it was maybe
for the floor.
Yeah, I think it might just be their floor. I can't tell for sure.
It's the top of our computer desk.
Oh,
I see. Like that. I see. Yeah, you probably, I know. Their computer desk has like a box, you know, and it's set back a little bit.
Yeah. I just laid the phone down on the desk, and that's so it's looking up.
Okay. Well, This is riveting. I'm sure we're getting hundreds of people on Facebook Live. Let me see. We're going to keep them with conversation like this. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. I'm not even sure if it is. There is a comment moderation. Oh, dear. I have no idea. Well, so tonight, what we're going to do is start a Bible study series that is, I didn't write it. It's produced by Northwestern Publishing House and it by a professor at the seminary named Ken Cherney. His son happens to be over in Yakima, Isaac Cherney. And so there's a connection point. And I spent some time with the guy who wrote this over in Hong Kong, and he always does a good job. And I thought, actually, they were giving away free Bible studies for pastors. That's why I decided to go with this one. I just got an email, and they said, to help people out, we're going to give away a free Bible study. And so this seems, prayer seems like a good topic for now, right? Because a lot of people, not everybody, but many people don't have as much to do. And so you can always pray, right? You can, it never hurts to spend some time with the Lord when you're bored, and you'll find it was a good use of your time. So can everybody see the thing that I just shared with you? I just shared with you a Word document that is the Bible study.
Yes.
Okay, good, yeah. And I think for copyright reasons, I don't think that I can actually share it. I can't give you a copy, but I think we can all look at it on my screen and go through it that way. So today it'll be a little different. You'll need to have a Bible. Now you can use your phone, you can use your computer, whatever Bible you have handy, and we will have the screen here together. So, all right, we will go ahead and say a prayer, and I will just say this prayer right here to begin. Oh Lord, as we study your word, pour out on us your Holy Spirit. Let us learn the joy of talking with you and move us to speak with you from penitent and trusting hearts. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And he's got a lot of good questions here, like kind of basic, obvious things that I never think to ask. So here's a good question. What makes it easy to talk with someone? What characteristics of a person?
When they listen to you or when they respond back to you in kind.
Good thought. Any others?
When you know them well.
Okay. Any others? Good.
I don't know what. Good listener.
Mm-hmm. Any other things that make it easy to talk to someone?
If you have some common interests.
Ah, sure. Makes sense. Anything else, anybody?
Eye contact.
More or less of it? You're for or against?
More.
Okay, more eye contact. For some people, I think it would be the opposite, but you're friendly, so I understand. Good. So think of how all these things then apply to our gracious God. There's nobody who's easier to talk to, maybe with the exception of eye contact, but someone who's listening, and he's always listening, someone who responds back sometimes, someone who cares, someone who has a common interest, and there was one or two others, but I can't really think of them now. And David about God. We have some selected verses of Psalm 4 here, and notice how many of the characteristics that we just mentioned, and maybe a few others, are found in this Psalm 4. And just, I don't know, I don't really want to do responsive readings on the Zoom, so I will just read the whole thing. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O man, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Did anybody see any characteristics of a good listener that we didn't mention that kind of come up here talking about the Lord?
Uh, I will answer you. So there's a response.
Yeah. And he answers us by doing something, by giving us what we ask for, or by blessing us in some way. Anything else you noticed? The Lord is a good listener. Go ahead.
Fill our hearts with greater joy.
Yeah. So he's positive. I think maybe that's one we miss. So it's nice to talk to somebody who is going to be positive and upbeat and encouraging. I mean, it's nice if they're a good listener, but if they're just listening, you know, they may not actually care and they may not really help you. But if they're encouraging and sympathetic and you know that they actually are interested in what you're saying and really, really care, then it's very easy to talk to somebody. And the Lord does care. He's very merciful. He's listening out of interest and out of concern. So that's maybe one other thing we could have added. Okay, so that's the worship beginning there. Now we have this introduction part. Have you ever heard of active listening? Let's see. Has anybody ever heard of active listening? I have, but maybe it's just something we talk about in seminary. The few heads that I can see are nodding. So I'll assume that represents a lot of other people. In active listening, you turn your entire body toward the speaker. You look him or her in the eye. Oh, dear. You nod at appropriate moments and you ask questions or offer brief comments to help yourself understand the person you are listening to. Maybe not as good a listener as I thought, but we'll keep going. Active listening is an important skill. Communication won't happen if the listener expects the speaker to do all the work. Well, God is an active listener. In fact, he alone has opened up the lines of communication between us and him. And he helps us ask for the right things. So that's kind of a lot to unpack there. So he's the one who initiated the conversation and he's listening all the time. And he even kind of keeps us in line, helps us make sure we're asking the right things, having a good, appropriate conversation. And so in our first lesson, by the way, there's 8 or 9 lessons, I think, we'll consider this question. When we pray, that is when we talk to God, who is really doing the work? And so in prayer, there's 2 parts. The first part is this. In prayer, we approach the Father through Jesus, his Son. So let's look up these 2 passages that make up this first section. So now's the time to open your Bibles. I don't think I can share 2 screens at the same time. So I'll keep this open. And if you can just turn to John 20, and then someone else will turn to John 16. I'm not sure how long this will take. Yeah, then we have a 3rd passage here and a lot of room for discussion. So we'll try to make sure everybody has a chance to share. All right. Anybody willing to read John chapter 20, verses 10 through 18?
It was John, right?
John 10.
John 20, verses 10 through 18.
I can do it. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside them crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw 2 angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had once been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Mm-hmm. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there.
He did.
But she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary," turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them what he said. And she told him that he had said these things to her.
Okay, thank you. That's a kind of moving section of scripture, really the Easter reading. And I think we read that 2 weeks ago. But this Bible study really wants to focus us on the things that Jesus says to her. And it's just a few phrases, so it might be easy to gloss over. But first of all, in 17, how does Jesus refer to God in verse 17?
As the Father. And for the first time in all these years I've read this, he says, returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what he wants us to really pick up on here. That's a very significant phrase. You know, and there are passages in the Bible that maybe they're very short, but they're very meaningful. And as, you know, in the Gospel of John, this is the first thing that Jesus really says to anybody, you know, the first kind of extended thing other than saying, you know, Mary earlier. And he says, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And he never used that exact language before the resurrection. Why do you think he's using that language now, the first thing when he talks to Mary?
Because she belongs to the Father.
Yeah. Why would it be appropriate to stress that on Easter Sunday morning? And especially to stress my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
That was the whole point of the resurrection.
Yeah, and so now it's all been accomplished. You know, before he was kind of speaking about this in a future sense, and now it's done. So the Father, he's inherently Jesus's Father, but now Jesus has made him our Father as well by reconciling us. He is inherently Jesus's God, if you want to look that way. They have this natural relationship, but now we belong to God as well because Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Through him, we are connected to the Father. So it's a very compact way of expressing the results of Jesus' work. And it sort of shows us that the Gospels also teach us justification by faith and the atonement and all these things that are taught in Paul. They just do it in a little different way here. So then how about question number two? What comforting name does Jesus give to the disciples in verse 17?
My brothers.
Yeah, and that's quite a phrase as well. Now you are Jesus's brother or you know, sister, if you're a female. Before, he never used that word for the disciples. He did say, you know, those who obey me, or those who believe in me, you know, they are my mother and my brothers. So he has some analogies, but here he's calling them literally, you know, my brothers. Normally, he did not refer to them this way when he's talking to them directly. So now question number three. Why can Jesus describe our relationship with God in these terms?
Because he has earned that right for us.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to prayer, we don't start on the basis of, well, am I worthy of God listening to me? Do I have something important to say? We don't start on the basis of ourselves or what we're doing or what we want. We start on the basis of what Jesus has done for us and the status he has given us that we have simply by being his children. All right, good. Any other questions or thoughts on those verses? By the way, the guy who wrote this Bible study, I was in his class for the Gospel of John class, and he made a big deal of these passages, and so I'm not surprised he works them into his Bible study. Which is good. John is a great gospel, and we should use it a lot. So the next one is actually going back a few chapters. This is also a Easter section of scripture. We read it in the Easter season often. John 16, 22 to 27. Can we get a new volunteer to read these verses?
I can do it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, six. So let's see, verse 22, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that you will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God.
Mm-hmm. So this was just 2-3 days before, you know, 3 days the way the Bible counts it, 2 the way we count days. And Jesus is predicting kind of what we just saw, this new restored relationship with the Father. And so look closely, the first question, number 4 there, look closely at verses 26 and 27. Why can Christians pray to the Father according to what he says? I could kind of hear you talking, Sandy, but couldn't tell what you said.
Well, he's saying that the Father loves us, and he loves us because we have loved Jesus.
Yeah, and so that is why we can pray to the Father, right? Because of what he's done. That's similar to what we saw earlier. How about the next one? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name?
It means that we believe that he's our Lord and Savior and that he did rise from the dead and is hearing our prayers.
Yeah. Does it mean we have to say the words in the name of Jesus, amen?
No, because that's not magic.
Yeah, exactly. It's the faith in him that is the key. Like you said, exactly. So, and that totally fits with what he said at the end of 27, because you've loved me and because you have believed that I came from God. And so it's a prayer offered in faith to the Father, but through Jesus' name. Of course, we can pray to Jesus, but he often encourages us to pray to the Father in his name. There are others, though, where they pray directly to him. So really, we can do both. We see both kind of prayers in the New Testament, and I think it's good to have some variety. Ultimately, our prayers are going to be heard either way. So we kind of do both. In fact, in different seasons of the church year, they structure the prayers to different members of the Trinity. But always at the end, we say, if we're praying to the Father, for example, we'll say, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, amen, because they're one. All right. So then notice again, remember the words that he said there. Truly, whatever you ask in my name, I will give you. Question 6, how do Jesus' words make you feel about praying?
Be free to pray.
I didn't quite catch that, Tessie.
To be free to pray.
Okay, so you feel free. Like I can pray whatever. Anything else?
It gives us confidence that our prayer will be answered.
Yeah. So free, confident. Those are good ways to be. Anything else?
We can come to him and ask him for anything.
Yeah. I don't know. Are there things that we sometimes feel embarrassed to ask for? Like what kinds of things would you sometimes hesitate to pray about? And this might be different for different people.
I don't know. I have a good prayer warrior sitting right there dressed in black who prayed for my toilet last summer, and she was happy to do it, even though I had no idea she was in the middle of losing her own mother at the time. She stopped and she was thrilled to pray for my toilet situation.
Who is that, Tessie? Yeah. I can't see who's wearing black. Donna. There. Oh, Donna, I see what you mean. Okay, got it. Okay. Well, there you go.
I had quite an issue when she was willing to pray. Lots of people were.
Wow.
Well, there you go. So if you can pray about your toilet, you can pray about anything, I think.
Pretty much.
And God, he made us, right? He knows how we are biologically. Toilets are very important. And there's no reason to be shy about that. So anything, big or small. Is it harder? I think sometimes for me, I'll pray for the small things, but I maybe won't pray for the big things because it seems like, what's he going to do? Is he going to just change the whole course of the country for me? Is he really going to bet? I think for me, it's the bigger things that I hesitate to pray about. And yet we should pray about everything.
Yeah. Sometimes it's harder to pray for yourself than for others.
Can be, yeah. Or, it can go both ways. It can be either one, but yeah, it can be harder to pray for yourself, maybe, or the types of prayers that we say for ourselves. Maybe sometimes we're hesitant to pray, Lord, help me overcome this sin because, we don't feel like we can. Something like that. There's a lot of different things. So whatever it is, for everybody, it's going to be different, but confidence, knowing he wants you to pray about that, ask for anything in his name. And we sort of, in the sermon, if you listen to what I prepared for Sunday, talked about the exceptions and how, God always answers the prayer one way or the other. Question 7 here. This we believe, that is the Wells Statement of Faith, describes the prayers of all who do not know Christ as vain babblings addressed to false God. Why to false gods? Why is this accurate?
Because what you're not praying to anything, you're just babbling, as it says.
I mean, it sounds kind of insulting, but you're just talking to yourself.
He only hears the prayers of the faithful, of those who believe in him.
Yeah. The prayers that are in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is like the pipeline. That's how our prayers get to him. In the Old Testament, the picture of this was the temple, right? You'd pray facing the temple. You knew that God heard you on account of the temple and the sacrifices that were offered there. That was just a picture of Christ. We pray facing Christ, turning towards Christ, believing in his name. So, yeah, and I mean, we can maybe be impressed by the piety of people who have false religions and false beliefs and sometimes think, wow, they pray so fervently. Probably you've never really been exposed to this, but Orthodox Jews, they pray all the time. I mean, they're just praying right and left. They have several prayers a day, and it's very impressive and very, in some ways you think, man, I wish I had that kind of prayer life. But at the same time, if it's not in the name of Christ, then the Father isn't listening, is what we learn. All right. Any other thoughts on question 7?
Well, Elijah and the prophets of Baal was a clear teaching in Old Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Good example that we just covered on Sunday. Any other thoughts on this question 7? So good to think through these things. And now we have 2 discussion questions, I guess you'd call them. So it's a little sidebar called His Word in My Life. I guess the purpose is to connect it to something in the news. So recently, I don't think it's that recent now, but a chaplain in the Kansas State Legislature was reprimanded for offering prayers explicitly in the name of Jesus. A member of the legislature, who is a Unitarian, complained, "This man has to learn to pray more inclusively," meaning that the chaplain should avoid mentioning Jesus in his prayers. What do you think the chaplain should do? And, this is meant for discussion. I don't think we're going to say there's one absolutely right answer, but maybe there's a couple of decent answers and a few that are probably better.
Keep on.
Keep on?
Keep on.
So just keep on praying, just kind of ignore the Unitarians' advice, and if you're going to pray up there, pray in Jesus' name.
I'm always impressed by Billy Graham and Billy Graham's son now. They don't feel bad about mentioning the name of Jesus publicly.
Yeah.
They have that strong faith.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Maybe taking it a different direction or similar to what Dave was saying.
Well, if they refuse to let him pray in Jesus' name, he needs to send out his resume.
Yeah. Yeah, the chaplain of the Kansas State Legislature. I mean, so this is, you're right. So that sounds like it must be his full-time job. That's, or maybe it's a part-time job, but it sounds like an appointed position.
What I would say is, along those same lines, we really shouldn't participate in the, like these prayer breakfasts that they have and, you know, government meetings. Sometimes they'll have a prayer, the mayor's prayer breakfast. Because those prayers, they don't pray to Jesus, or, you know, to the true God. Mm-hmm. It's trying to include everybody. So I just don't think we even should participate in those type of prayers.
Yeah. And I mean, that's actually, you probably are familiar, probably many of you are familiar, you know, we do not have military chaplains in the Wells. And this is one thing that is kind of unique about us compared to almost all other Protestants and most other Christians in our country, is that, you know, we take it very seriously that you should only be praying with people who share the same faith, and definitely only praying to the true God. And so, you know, the way that the chaplains are set up, if they try to, I think, as I understand it, you know, they try to have like a Catholic guy and a Protestant guy. But if you're in some situation where you're the only chaplain around and there's a Muslim guy, you know, you gotta provide him some religious services according to your, to some degree. I mean, you have to do something. So I don't know exactly how it works, but I know they've studied it and time again found we really can't participate in this in good conscience. And it would be certainly much easier for us if we could, but they just find that we really don't want to give the impression that we're all praying to the same God, because we're not, right? If you're not praying in Jesus' name.
We're not. And they even, just, well, probably 10 or 15 years ago, I think, included the Wiccans. You had to have some representing them. Thank you, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've attended some military services, and they're very, I don't know what the word, plain.
General.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's good. That's kind of what I'd heard, but you've got the actual firsthand experience. I would imagine they just kind of make it very general and something that anybody who believes in any kind of higher power could sort of agree with. I mean, what else are you going to do if you got a bunch of people there who don't agree and you're supposed to serve them all? Yeah. And I mean, actually, this is one place where we are not going to fit with the maybe more traditional conservative approach to things like prayer in school. I don't want prayer in public school. Not that my kids are in public school right now, but they're going to have prayers led by people of all sorts of different kind of faiths. And I don't want them learning about God from people who I think are wrong. You know, like I would really rather that public things just not take that on themselves. But there's, of course, maybe a lot of different rabbit holes we could go down with that. There's other ways.
I saw legislative prayer. Uh-huh. They had a Muslim have the prayer, and it was a female Muslim, which is kind of unheard of, doing the prayer in front of everybody. And she said, well, my God didn't kill his son.
Yeah. Right. And you get into that. And then if we're going to have equal free religion, then we kind of, if you're going to allow one, you have to allow the other. Right. So that's this one is kind of a dicey area where I guess these teachings hit public life. Any other thoughts on this particular scenario here in the box?
Well, I have a story about this.
Oh, sure.
About when we were in Puerto Rico, and I think we moved there when I was 12, and we had to go to the base chapel, And the first Sunday we were there, we knew the pastor, the chaplain, was Missouri Synod Lutheran. And he ended up confirming me and three other girls from Lutheran families. So for me, it was a blessing.
Sure. So God works through it, but you know, I couldn't participate in it, but that doesn't mean no chaplains are able to share any, you know, some chaplains are able to share the gospel. And I think what they figure is, well, I get a chance to share the gospel. Other times I have to kind of be more generic, but I'll just make it work.
This was over 65 years ago.
Yeah. I think today with Wiccans being acknowledged and I imagine it's a much different situation. I know at MLC there were some guys who were chaplain's assistants, and they felt like that was something they could do. I feel like if I went in the military, I would want to just do something else, you know, like not be a chaplain's assistant, but they felt like that was an okay position. All right, well, maybe we can keep moving. Good, so this will take at least 45 minutes. I was worried it would be too short. We have another question here. No, this isn't a question. This is like a summary of the first half. So as we say prayer, let's keep this truth uppermost in our minds. If Jesus had not suffered, died, and risen again, it would be impossible for us to pray. Sinners like us would be barred forever from the throne room of a holy God. But now, thanks to Jesus, the door to God's throne room is always open to believers. When you come before God with a prayer in Jesus' name, God gives you the same reception he would give to Jesus himself. That's really remarkable, but it's true, right? My God and your God, my Father and your Father. It may not feel like he is your Father when you're being sinful and rebellious, but he is just as much as he's Jesus' Father because of what he's done. So that's the first half, praying in Jesus' name. And the second is we approach the Father with the help of the Spirit. Now, this we actually looked at a few weeks ago. We studied the whole chapter, but I don't think that this is going to be too much repetition to just review. So let's look at Romans chapter 8, 15 to 17, and 26 to 27.
I'll read it.
Thank you.
I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And 26 and 27.
I think that's Romans 7.
Oh, you're right, it was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
All right. Try it again. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
Okay, thank you. Those are the verses to consider. So keep your eyes kind of on both sections there. What is our attitude toward God thanks to the Spirit's work in us? Maybe we'll just answer the first part.
Well, we pray to him like we look to him like we would our Father. He's our Father.
Yeah, and we, you know, this is kind of a theme that we're seeing in all these passages, that Jesus has made him our Father. The Spirit tells us he's our Father, right? So, exactly. And the thing is, you know, earthly fathers such as myself have a mixed record of sometimes being kind and good and helpful, and other times being maybe negligent or, you know, angry or whatever. So we're talking about a good father here, a father who's always listening, a father who really cares, a father who always does what's best and is very wise and caring. And so the spirit of sonship, the adoption. And then the second half is also, we now call God our Father. Then, let's see, anything else to say about verses 15 to 17? The next questions are about the next few parts.
I heard somebody describing when we cry Abba, Father, as like calling him Daddy.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say exactly. Abba in Hebrew, or it's actually Aramaic, and it is just the normal way that a person would address their child, or would address their father. So it could be, yeah. There's some lively discussion on that. There was a pastor who once titled his sermon, "Who's Your Daddy?" and later received a significant amount of criticism that, yeah. You know, it depends, because that word, I mean, different people mean it in different ways, because it's not silly, you know, it's not playful. No. It's still serious, but it is intimate. It's very caring, you know, it's, so I'm trying to think, what do my kids call me?
I say all the Father God and Daddy.
I think maybe kind of like Dad, more, you know, because my kids don't really call me Daddy. They would only do that to be silly. It's like, oh, Dad, like, oh, Daddy. But they call me Dad normally. Is that what most kids call their father most frequently?
I call God the Father, Abba, Father God. I call him my Father God, my Daddy God.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that works. No, but what I'm just trying to think. So the most natural equivalent of Abba would be whatever we normally call our parents. And would that just be Dad?
It depends on the age, I think. When they're young, they say Daddy. Yeah. When they get a little bit older, it's just Dad.
Yeah. And as adults, you guys, I know many of your parents have passed on, but would you call them Dad, like through your whole life?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think maybe Dad would be the word we should use.
Father.
Yeah. I mean, I would never really address if I were to talk to my dad, father, may I speak to you for a moment? Yeah, that doesn't quite have the same familiar ring as Dad. So probably Dad is the best translation nowadays.
My kids call me Pop.
Okay. So Pop, it would be for you then, you know, whichever. Did you encourage that, or did it just kind of happen?
Like, no, just kind of do it. Hey, Papa. Hey, Pop.
Yeah, that's cool, I think. Never got there with my kids. All right, so anyway, good discussion on those verses. I was just seeing if there's anything else to highlight that maybe the Bible study doesn't pick up on. The heirs, you know, since we're children, we're heirs, we're looking forward to glory. But let's now focus on verses 26 to 27. So because of our weakness, what difficulty do we experience in our prayer life? That's question number two there.
We don't
Sometimes
even know
we just don't know what to say.
Yeah, you both said the same thing. And we did talk about that's a little the other week, but I don't know. Anybody got some recent examples of just not knowing what to pray for? You don't mind sharing?
There's a lot of times when I'm in prayer and I don't know I don't know how to express myself. So But God sees our hearts and knows what we're seeing and what we're feeling.
Yeah, exactly. And so you don't have to have words. Maybe just kind of you're quietly praying and you know God is hearing you, and it's more of just your heart is open before Him. Can anyone think of a time where you didn't know what to pray for?
Well, you think about the situation we're in now. We want fellowship again. We want people to be together. We want businesses open. But we want people to be, yeah, we want hugs. We want people to be safe. So, yeah.
I think that's a great example. I mean, we're kind of all facing that, right? 'Cause, and none of us really, I think no human being on earth really knows, fully understands the disease and the ramifications and what could happen. I mean, everybody's playing probabilities to some degree, although some are more informed than others. You know, we do have experts. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to pray. Do I pray, you know, Lord, let us have church May, whatever would be the Sunday after the 4th, 10th, I think that would be. Yeah, do I pray that? But then, but I have to say, so let us have church that day, you know, but not if it's going to kill a bunch of our members, you know, but, and also not if it's going to like affect too many deaths in the community, even if none of, you know, you start to add in the ifs and the buts, and we just don't know. So we have to leave it in God's hands and say, you know, your will be done. But we can still express what we want. Like I would like this to be over ASAP. You know, please make that happen and just trust God's going to do it, or he knows better. Yeah. So I think this is a great example. Any other? What's that?
I've got a coworker that thinks that God is mad at us. And so this is what he's punishing us for this and for all the killings and everything. And I said, no, God loves us. He's love.
Yeah. There, you know, there's a couple different ways to answer that, but you're right. This definitely isn't punishing us for our national sins. Honestly, if he were going to do that, it would probably be a lot worse than this. But he doesn't do that. So you're right. That's not what he's doing.
And probably a lot quicker.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows what he's doing? He's probably doing lots and lots of different things in different communities, different people's lives, and we can't even start to quantify it all. So yeah,
one thing that is getting us together on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good benefit.
Closer to him, to himself.
Yep. So, any other thoughts? Right now, of course, great example. Other situations we face, maybe more regularly in life, where we don't know what to pray for.
It wasn't regular. It was a one-shot deal. The only time I was ever pregnant. And I was bleeding one day, and it was early on in my pregnancy, and I was really scared. I called my big sister, and she said, just remember, God loves that baby even more than you do. You have to be willing to let God have that baby if God wants that baby. Wow. And it was hard to pray, but it's like, God, if you need this baby more than I do, you take him.
Wow. But yeah, that would be hard. And, you know, it's one where you can pray for what you want and just leave it up to God's wisdom ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever it comes to life and death decisions, I'm thinking of when Ellie was on the respirator.
Yeah.
Back, oh boy, was that late January? Yes. Very early February, right around then. And you see her in such suffering. And not just her, anybody. You don't know what to pray, like, because you don't know if they're going to recover. If they do recover, what functionality they'll have. You don't know what pain they're in and they're not in. And you just have to kind of pray that God's will be done.
And you don't know if adding one more day will be a witness to somebody who you don't even know yet.
Yeah, exactly. And then with so many things, I mean, what job to take, where to move. You don't always know what's the right thing, what opportunities might come up, but if you don't take this opportunity, what other opportunities might come up? The lady right now, Michelle Most, deliberating the call, it seems like she'd be a great fit. Maybe there's someone else God has, you know? So you just kind of pray that good would be done, God's will would be done. That's why the Lord's prayer is so great, you know? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. We know that's good. We know that's always going to come true. All right, so then how does the Holy Spirit help us, though? In verse 27, can you put in your own words what it's saying the Spirit does for you?
He prays for us.
He knows our needs.
Yeah, so he's actually praying for you. And it's like we're just kind of praying along with him, but he's actually leading us in prayer. Not that he always vocalizes it exactly and he like gives us special words, but just he's praying on our behalf and we're praying just a prayer of trust. So then, question 4, and evaluate. Some churches teach that an unbeliever can become a Christian by praying a prayer in which he invites Jesus into his heart. You probably heard of this, right? The Sinner's Prayer, it's often called.
Well, if they're making that prayer, they must have already learned that Jesus is their Savior.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it cold.
Exactly. So if you feel prompted to pray and ask Jesus into your heart, the thing is, the Holy Spirit's already there working on you. And obviously, you already have some faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to pray that prayer. And so God's already given you that spark of faith. And so we don't need to put the burden onto the person and tell them now it's their job to invite him in. Rather, we just want to fan the flame of faith that has already begun in that person. So, yeah, that's a good example. Prayer happens when you have the Holy Spirit leads us in any true prayer. And so until you have the Holy Spirit, it's not a true prayer. Good one there. So then his last one, yeah, we'll move on. His word in my life. Noting the many secular activities her church was engaged in, one member said in disgust, by the way, this is probably at a bigger church that has a bunch of different clubs and a bunch of different activities you can go to. One member said, you could take the Holy Spirit out of our church altogether and nobody would even notice. 90% of our programs and activities would be completely unchanged. Is this true of our prayer life? Why or why not? So he's making an analogy. Is it true of our prayer life that you could take the Holy Spirit out and nobody would notice?
Sure hope not.
We have to depend on Holy Spirit.
Yeah. What, maybe try to read between the lines of what the author's thinking here. What would be a case in which it would seem like the Holy Spirit isn't making a difference in our prayer life? What do you think he's getting at? When could it be for you and for me that an outsider looking at us praying would think, I don't really, you know, I don't see the difference the Holy Spirit makes?
I don't know. I think in our church, our prayers are very good.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. So I don't think it's really criticizing our public prayers. I think what he's getting at would be that it shouldn't be this way for our prayer life, right? That if we're praying correctly, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit should be infused through everything we pray. And in our, that's in church, that's also in our personal lives. How could it maybe appear that wasn't the case? I can think of two ways. One, if we're just never praying, you know, if we're really not spending any time in prayer at all, then in that case, it would seem like, you know, is the Holy Spirit there? Isn't he urging you to call out to your Father and take hold of the rights that you've been given as a child of God? That would be one case. Another way is if you're praying frequently, but you're sort of just always praying about, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, if you're maybe not concerned with spiritual things, not concerned about other people, but you're sort of obsessing over, boy, I really want to get rich. Boy, you're sort of praying for things that would be
like God.
Kind of shallow. Yeah. It's like if you only went to God when you needed something and it was kind of like just you're trying everything you can get. You know, you really want to get this promotion and so you start to pray about that. And then when it's over, you forget. Maybe that would be a good example. But, you know, this, I would hope and I pray that, you know, that the Holy Spirit is behind every prayer, whether we're praying about a toilet or praying about the growth of our church, or praying about our own sanctification, that the motivation behind all of it is our relationship to the Father, with the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, that question, I wasn't quite clear, you know, what was behind it. Any other thoughts on what might be behind this question?
I thought maybe it was the, if we're always praying about material things and never, and there aren't ever spiritual things or our faith life on our mind and we're not praying about those.
Yeah, that could be it. Because, you know, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, most of the things are spiritual things. That's what we're encouraged to pray. And, you know, other lessons in this series, we'll talk about that in a more focused way. Could be. Now, you don't want to discourage people to pray for physical things, though. So you don't want to act like that's bad. It's always good to pray about anything. It's just, we probably want to also pray about spiritual things without cutting out the material things. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that you're right. That's probably what he's getting at. And is it, I don't know, in the Lutheran Church, do we sometimes downplay the importance of prayer? I think that can happen because, you know, prayer is not a means of grace. And we want to make it clear that prayer is not something we do for God, but it's a response to his grace. But at the same time, it's a very important part of the Christian life. I mean, the Bible talks about it all the time. You know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. We want to encourage prayer without accidentally being work righteous. And so that's sort of the challenge we face. So then here's the final thought for this section. When you talk to a friend on the phone, it's very easy to understand what's going on. Your thoughts pass from your brain to your mouth, over the wires into your friend's ear, and finally into his brain. Prayer to God is a bit more complex. More than our brain and mouth is at work when we pray to God. God the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Through the gospel, he has opened the lines of communication between us and God. He has also created a new mind in us so we can pray according to God's will. Even more, he himself, from within us, offers prayers to the Lord that are in perfect accordance with his will. So that is a lot going on. It is more than just a phone conversation. And it's an expression of our faith. And the summary for the whole thing, God is at work when we pray. The Father has sent his Son to open the lines of communication between us and him. Jesus has made us his brothers and God's children. The blood of Jesus that atoned for our sins is the reason why we can pray with confidence to our God. The Holy Spirit sustains this faith in us and prays to our Father on our behalf. God is the most active listener there is. Very true. All right. Well, any final thoughts on this lesson?
Prayer should be a dialogue, not a monologue, and we shouldn't be so quick to tell Jesus what to do.
Yeah.
I hear sometimes people in prayer, and they're sincere, but they're praying, almost daring God, you can do this, God. It's not too big for you, God. Do it this way, God. You know what I need, God.
Yeah. There's kind of a fine line. We want to be specific, but we also want to leave room for God to be God. Good point. And I think some of the other lessons will really get into the balance of that, and we can talk about how to do that more. Yeah, the Psalms. I've mentioned this probably before, but it's worth repeating. The Psalms just, they spend a lot of time describing to God what I'm going through. And then they say, Lord, hear me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, save me. Whereas we tend to be real specific about what we want him to do. The Psalms are just specific in describing what we're going through, even though he knows, you know, because it's about expressing our relationship of faith. It's not just about getting results. Okay, so we can end with a prayer, but are there any special prayer requests to conclude? Looking for a piece of paper. And I'll say, I just encourage everybody to make time for prayer this week. You know, maybe when you're bored, just go sit and pray for a while. Maybe there's nothing good on TV, go to bed early and pray on your way to sleep.
I have a request.
Okay, thank you.
That is that God would continue to bless our church and school, that we would remain a strong congregation, and also pray for our pastor and all workers that they may be blessed as they continue in their ministry.
Okay, well, thanks. I'll pray that, and I'll say it slightly awkward, but shouldn't be. So, all right, any others?
See, it's hard to pray for yourself.
You're right. Yeah, I stand corrected. You're absolutely right. It is. Anything else? And there's
a prayer of thanks for this beautiful rain that I've been praying for a month now.
Amen to that.
There you go.
And I think everybody knows, maybe Tessie doesn't, that you're a farmer out there, and it's not just that you like to see the rain. It's pretty vital, right, for your crops. It's mostly wheat that you're growing.
We're raising wheat and three different kinds of wheat, actually four kinds of wheat. Barley and canola.
Okay. Oh, canola.
I just finished seeding my wheat this afternoon, and I've got 400 acres of barley left, but our seeds really needed this drink to get them watered in, but a lot of them are in dry soil.
Good. Yeah, and the other thing is, you guys might not know, it shocked me, he doesn't do irrigation, right? It's all just rainwater that waters your crops, right?
Wow, that's total faith, huh?
Yeah.
I love that.
That really must give you a lot of chances to exercise your faith.
Yeah, all of our crops are dry land crops, or no irrigated crops.
Yeah. All right, so thanks for sharing that. And any other prayer requests? All right, well then I'll lead us in a final prayer and just encourage you to pray a bunch during the week. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a loving Father to us, and help us to remember that every day. Help us approach you as someone who's an active listener, and to remember that you're always eager to hear, and you're guiding us in what to say, and to just not hold anything back, but take all requests to you, big and small, material and spiritual, and make us spiritual minded so that we do pray for those things that you encourage in the Lord's Prayer. We ask your continued blessing on our congregation, on our church and our school. Help it to continue to proclaim the gospel, to disciple our members, to help all of us grow, to reach out to new people and find new ways to do that, especially be with all the called workers, myself and the teachers and the principal and Donna is a preschool director and preschool teacher. Be with us at this time as we're providing services in different ways to people, help them to still reach others with the gospel. We thank you on Jim's behalf and on behalf of really all of us for the good rain that there has been lately, so that the crops are able to grow at the right time and not get too dry. So thank you, and thank you for just being with us during this time of confusion and uncertainty and certainly strife to some degree in our society. Help us to turn away from the angst and the frustrating aspects of life right now, and take time to turn to you in prayer and to find peace and to find a ready ear whenever we start to get nervous or worried. Remind us to turn to you and that you're with us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And we'll continue to do this until we're back in person. And I've been thinking, I mean, we could even continue to have a Zoom Bible study a Wednesday evening. What I was thinking is maybe I could do Thursday morning, that class, I could offer it at another time on Zoom for our members who live further away, or something like that. I don't know. So if you have any thoughts, share with me if there's a way we could continue doing some sort of Zoom study or not.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys. So I'll stay on in case anyone wanted to chat, but you can exit. I'm also curious to see if our Facebook Live had any people. Oh, looks like the Galkies were there too.
Rachel is there.
Yeah. So you're following that somehow? Huh. It says your video has ended. 1 hour. So maybe it ended after the 1 hour point.
Our video ended too.
Yeah. Maybe Rachel ended it. I don't know. Brad Snyder, he liked it. He gave it a like.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I see. They sent me a message, but I didn't catch it. It says your video will time out in 10 minutes. So it looks like a live stream is maybe limited to 1 hour. So I'll have to start it right at 6:30.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you and see you just fine. Oh, well, okay. I saw you earlier, and I only saw you. I never saw Janelle.
Well, she's right beside me here, but she's super shy.
Well, everybody enjoys seeing you, and, you know, there's no, nothing to be embarrassed about.
Stop. There she is.
Hi, Janelle.
Stop it. I'm in trouble.
Did she just run away when you... No, I missed it.
I told Barb that you were going to turn her camera on, and she said, no, he's not. I don't have one.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. I can't force you to do that if you don't have a camera. So maybe in the future, just use a computer, an old computer without a camera. Oh, there's Barb. I saw her. She just walked behind. Yeah.
That's right. Yes, Barb.
Pastor, you're muted again, Jim.
An invitation today. Are you there?
Yeah. I'm trying to tell Jim that he's now muted.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm not going to try to unmute you because then we'll get into a battle of unmuting you. Unless I accident. Here, I'm going to try it. It didn't do anything. You have to do it yourself. But Dave, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I got an invitation today to submit a resume to be a pastor of the community church down the road.
So are you looking for a reference?
I didn't want to have to do sermons, so I turned it down.
I would have given you mine.
I was shocked to get it.
I mean... You know, no offense, you'd be a great pastor, but they really must be desperate if they're just sending random letters to people they don't know. I mean, you would be a great one, but they don't know that.
Maybe we can have a hostile takeover, Dave. You could go over there and we can bring him into ours.
I don't know if it was a call or just an invitation. I think it was an invitation.
Well, you know, those hostile takeovers are interesting. There was this church in Milwaukee. Did you hear about, I think it was St. John's on Valete Street? And I may be getting some of the details slightly off, but basically it happened like this. The church, it used to be a huge, huge congregation, and they still had a giant, beautiful building right downtown Milwaukee. But their membership had dwindled to about 4. And only 2 people would come reliably, besides the pastor and the organist. And so these 2 guys, and this was a Wells church, and it's right down the road from Grace Downtown, which is a huge successful church. So these 2 guys, and it ended up being that they were gay partners, but they got this idea to join the church and take it over. And they did. And then they voted to sell it. But then there was a lawsuit somehow to say this was illegitimate and they were, you know, there were false pretenses, and however it ended up, they didn't end up able to do that, but they tried, and it took a couple of years to get it worked out.
Pastor, I have a suggestion for Bible class. If we could poll and see who was interested or who would read, and just have you call on somebody in the essence of saving time, because we're all uncomfortable with, you know, we don't know whether the next guy's going to pipe up and read.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or whatever. Yeah. The people that are willing to read, if you just call on them.
Just pick them? Sure.
That's a good idea. And if they don't want to, they could just say no, and you could call on somebody else. But it'd save a lot of time.
True. Well, everybody hates those awkward silences, but you got to get used to them because sometimes people want to answer, too. And I'm tempted to jump right in because I don't like the silence, but I know there's some good answers out there if you'll just wait and give it time. But thank you. That's a good thought. Any other thoughts? kind of winding down. Well, appreciate everybody making it, and I pray it's a blessing to you, and you have a good rest of the week. We'll have another Bible study Sunday, then 10 o'clock prayer time, and another service. And if you do end up using someone else's service, let me know how it goes, because I always want to know which ones I should recommend, you know, to people. So if there's one, I'll put it this way. If there's one that you really like, tell me. If there's one you don't really care for, you don't need to call me and tell me how bad it was. But if you do check out some church's service online or whatever, and you think it was really good, let me know, and I will recommend it, and I'll probably check it out then myself and steal some ideas from it. All right. Well, blessings on your evening. We'll see you Sunday.
Good evening.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yep. Bye-bye.